From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Governor Rick Perry is in the running for the White House, and his record in Texas is being scrutinized like never before.
Rick Perry's problem is that the country is not so far to the right as he is.
Perry is also taking heat from critics from the left and the right.
The more people learn about Rick Perry, the more they will find out he is an establishment Republican like so many others that they're upset with these days.
And how children have fared during Perry's governorship, the statistics tell a disturbing story.
So we've got a long way to go before we are hitting on all cylinders and creating a prosperous Texas.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Governor Rick Perry may have been late jumping into the race for the Republican nomination for president, but he's making up for lost time. He has certainly shaken up the race and given his fellow White House hopefuls something to worry about. Perry is running on his record as a pro-business governor. He touts his time in Texas as producing more than a third of all jobs in the nation during the anemic economic recovery. And Perry is looking to present himself as someone who would present the best chance of beating President Barack Obama in a general election. Perry has poll numbers to back that swagger up. According to Rasmussen reports, in a survey conducted on the Monday evening, just 2 days after the Ames straw poll in Iowa, Perry garnered 29% of support among likely Republican primary voters. Mitt Romney came in second with 18% of the vote. Representative Michelle Bachmann polled 13%, and Texas Congressman Ron Paul managed 9%. Now that Perry could be considered the front-runner in the GOP field, he's able to bask in the national limelight, but his record in Texas is being combed through. And reporters like Forrest Wilder of the Texas Observer are being booked on national political talk shows to dish on Perry.
Well, I think on one hand, you've got people who see him kind of as a second coming of George W. Bush. On the surface, he certainly seems very similar. You've got a conservative with that Texas swagger coming out of the governor of Texas, coming out of the state onto the national stage, making a big splash. And so a lot of people, that's the antecedent that they're reaching for is George Bush. And I think for those people, that's a scary thought. But I do think there's a good portion of the GOP base that has been waiting for a Rick Perry to come along. I mean, they weren't satisfied with Michelle Bachmann and Mitt Romney and the other guys. Rick Perry saw an opening, and he kind of, I think of the Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where maybe Michelle Bachmann's a little too crazy and Mitt Romney's not crazy enough, and Rick Perry's just kind of the right amount of crazy. So we'll see how he does. He certainly seems like his strategy is to be completely unapologetic and unvarnished in terms of trying to please the right-wing base, the sort of Tea Party voters with just, tons of red, heaping amounts of red meat.
So when we say crazy, we mean when he says things like the chairman of the Fed is almost treasonous, when he says a man is not responsible for climate change and that climate scientists are only saying these things in order to get millions of dollars in grants and other federal funds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use it entirely in a pejorative sense. I just think that there's a lot of people that are really angry. I just think it's undeniable that the Republican Party continues to move farther and farther to the right. You had John Huntsman just today saying, call me crazy, but I do think that I trust climate scientists on global warming and believe in an evolution. And I just think that, that's an apostate kind of statement to make in today's Texas Republican Party. And not in a thousand years would you ever imagine Rick Perry saying that. He's playing to those people. He's playing to the Tea Party. And has no shame about it. But, so in that sense, he's the right amount of crazy.
So when I talk to people about Rick Perry from outside of Texas, they immediately bring up the secessionist thing. And I have to clarify for them that Rick Perry has never actually endorsed secession, right?
He hinted at it, and I think he did
that deliberately. But that's not the same thing.
No, but I think that, okay, so we're talking about April, we're talking about tax day, April 2009, when he spoke at early on kind of Tea Party rallies, and then afterwards made some remarks about how, you know, we've got a good union, but you never know what's going to happen if things, federal government keeps going the direction it's going. I don't think Rick Perry generally says things that aren't calculated for political effect, and I think that he was perfectly fine to walk right up to that line, peek over the edge, and then only later walk it back. And the people in the Texas secessionist movement, which are not large in number by any means, but are certainly, you know, a group that are out there, kind of thought he was one of them, and then he threw them under the bus when the time came. But I think what he did is he successfully flanked to the right of, K. Bailey Hutchison, for example, in anticipation of a tough primary fight going into the 2010 gubernatorial campaign. And he got out in front of the Tea Party and made himself an authentic kind of leader, or at least a kind of a member of what was happening at that time, and that was deliberate. Does he actually believe in secession? I know. I don't think he does, but I think he's willing to say and do anything when he needs to in order to win. And that's the defining characteristic of Rick Perry. Is the guy probably doesn't really seem to have any real fixed policy ideas or anything like that. I don't think his record in Texas is one that you can even point to many accomplishments, but he's an incredibly good campaigner. He has a great sense of timing, and he knows how to win elections. That's what he's good at.
He's won a lot of elections in Texas, but how many really strong candidates has he faced, other than Jim Hightower, which you meet in the Ag Commissioner of Texas, and other elections he's had? Has he really had a strong opponent that he, you know, has had to work against? Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, I mean, she kind of self-destructed.
Yeah, but he engineered her self-destruction. I mean, I don't think it was entirely, her own making. He and his team are really good at winning and at beating people. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, she kind of did it to herself, but he certainly helped her. As far as like his Democratic opponents, I mean, no, I don't think they've been the strongest. And Texas is it's a red state, and so he just has a natural advantage there. But I remember in 2006, he won with 39% of the vote. That's not exactly a mandate. And yeah, it was this bizarre kind of four-way race. They successfully threaded the needle. And again, I mean, winning is what matters. And I'm not sure that it probably mattered to him and his team that much whether they won with, 39% or 59% or whatever, just so long as they got another 4 years. And, I mean, he said about George Bush, he only lost one race. Well, here's Rick Perry. He's doing George Bush one better. He's never lost a race in his career. And that's a remarkable thing for somebody, even somebody running for president. And we've had a lot of presidents that have been perennial losers. I mean, think of Richard Nixon, how many elections he lost before he finally managed to claw his way into the White House. Well, we've got a guy now that doesn't even know what losing is because it's never happened to him.
We're seeing that how with when Rick Perry is bringing his style outside of Texas, north of the Red River, he's running into sort of a culture shock that politics in Texas runs at a much higher voltage than it does outside of Texas. And it doesn't seem like he's willing to dampen it down.
No, he's not. I think he had a kind of a rough day in New Hampshire. From a media account that I read, he was running into just about as many hecklers as there were supporters. And I do think that he's going to have trouble, in some of these states where there's just not this built-in kind of Tea Party evangelical base that he's accustomed to having in Texas that sort of always has his back. And, especially going into a general election, I mean, Rick Perry's problem is that the country is not so far to the right as he is. He spent his whole career, obviously, in Texas, it's just maybe this classic problem of not understanding that the rest of the country is just not so far to the right, that it's not just some amusing, fun little thing when we just throw science under the bus and mock, what rational people know to be true, or call Social Security, which has kept our senior citizens out of poverty, a Ponzi scheme. I don't know. Is that going to sit so well with the rest of the country? Time will tell, but I think that that may be his fatal flaw.
Some conservatives are hitting Rick Perry. They say that he is pro-amnesty. He hasn't been tough enough on illegal immigration. And also there's the HPV vaccine, which he now admits or he calls a mistake.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, who does Rick Perry really favor? He favors, big business and his wealthy friends, and that's what that was all about. Big business in Texas doesn't want any restrictive immigration laws because they rely on a cheap labor force. He has has a moderate record on immigration. The HPV vaccine was a favor for Merck. So people are confused by that, but it's totally consistent. You know, he's tacked far to the right, but at the same time, you know, on his policy initiatives, the few that he's had with Trans-Texas Corridor, the HPV vaccine, and some of the immigration stuff, I mean, that's what big business wants. That's what, you know, his wealthy friends and political contributors want. So there's no inconsistency there when you understand who Rick Perry really is.
But do you think that will dampen any enthusiasm for him because he's still polling really high?
Well, I mean, remember Fred Thompson was the great savior, I mean, for the Republicans last presidential cycle. A lot of these guys come in, they make a big splash, everybody gets excited, the media just loses its head over, you know, the new shiny object, and then we actually figure out who these guys are, and then they fade. I don't know if that'll happen to Rick Perry or not. I tend to think he's probably stronger than a Fred Thompson, for example. I think that potentially can be a problem with the base. I mean, it's going to be a little hard explaining Trans-Texas Corridor to folks outside of Texas, but, it didn't go over so well here with grassroots conservatives and independents and libertarian types and, you know, people on the left for that matter. Does the Tea Party or whoever, the GOP base in general care about that sort of stuff? They might if they come to understand it. I can't speculate as to, like, the potential damage there, but it could be a problem for them.
4 years ago, Rick Perry was out campaigning for Rudy Giuliani. He made a big deal about going on Fox News and announcing his endorsement for Rudy Giuliani. Of course, that didn't go anywhere.
No, I think that was a misstep on his part. And that was a misreading of the strength of the Giuliani. Giuliani's campaign in retrospect looks like a joke. I mean, he's just going to run down to Florida, ignore the rest of the primary states, and just the guy really, in retrospect, seems obvious, had no chance of going anywhere. I think that Perry endorsing Giuliani again is going to be kind of confusing to some people until they understand that, while he is a real, in a sense, a real, right-wing kind of conservative, he also has probably his greatest affinity for the wealthy and the powerful and big business in this country, which is where his, true, real, at least money base is. And so, is that going to cause him, grief, the fact that he endorsed this one guy who didn't do so well 4 years ago or 3 years ago? No, I don't think it's that huge of a deal.
But it does show you how the media can portray certain candidates as front runners and being very strong. And then real people, when they start to go vote, suddenly it's a whole different universe.
Well, there's just an enormous disconnect between the national political press corps and, the actual citizens of this country. The way that presidential elections are covered at the national level, especially on television, is just really ridiculous. And they glom onto whatever new thing comes along, and just without any relation to actually what people on the ground say they want and how they relate to the candidates.
And also,
that's become obvious.
And the GOP media machine is also really not connected to the average voter.
Well, sure, we've got a whole network now that's been very financially successful and politically successful, for that matter. That to the extent now that we talk about a Rupert Murdoch primary, who is Fox News going to pick to promote? And I don't think that's quite shaked out yet. If it ends up being Rick Perry, I think that'll be a huge boost to him. But it's not clear that Murdoch is and the Fox News network has picked their guy yet.
Well, Rick Perry is taking credit for the Texas economy and job creation, and now that's putting our economy under the microscope and people are seeing some of the flaws. Not so many well-paid jobs are being created, and that the growth is coming really from people moving here, and they have been moving here for decades, long before Rick Perry ever held the gubernatorial office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what does Rick Perry have to do with the fact that Texas is a state, is a low-tax, you know, light regulation state? I mean, nothing. I mean, that's been the case for a long time. What does he have to do with the fact that we have a favorable climate? Well, nothing, although it seems to be getting worse and worse. Him taking credit for job creation, I think, is sort of, ridiculous. He has done, I will give him credit, you know, I think he is a really good cheerleader for the state, which is probably has something to do with the fact that, you know, he was a Yale leader at A&M, so he has, you know, some skills in being able to sort of, you know, rally people. And the Texas Enterprise Fund probably has created some jobs, although at a huge cost, you know, it's corporate welfare.
Rick Perry has published a book. It's always good to publish a book before you run for president, called Fed Up. It's pretty much his doctrine. It's a manifesto about anti-Washington, D.C. But on the very first page of the book, he makes it very clear how much he does not want to be president of the United States.
It's kabuki theater. I think he's been thinking about running for president for a long time. And when you run for president, you write a book. In this case, he wrote a glorified pamphlet with a bunch of, you know, warmed over kind of Hayekian kind of economic theory and rants against the federal government and things like calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme and saying the plan is actually cooling, not warming, and railing against both the 16th and 17th Amendment. Those are the amendments that allowed for the direct election of senators and an income tax. So it's a book, I think, that's meant to further his career. I don't know who wrote it. Somebody who's probably been good at cobbling together a bunch of disparate stuff, trying to produce a coherent theory out of it. I think probably Texas Public Policy Foundation would have produced something like this if they had commissioned one of their experts to write it. So, you know, it's worth reading if you want to understand what Rick Perry supposedly believes in, but not much of a book at the end of the day.
You're getting some attention, too. When George W. Bush was running for president and was president, Molly Ivins, of course, who was one of the great reporters and editors of the Texas Observer, was frequently called upon to decipher George W. Bush in Texas for the rest of the nation. And now the rest of the staff is being able to fill that void. And people are asking you about Texas. And how do you feel about adopting that role?
It seems like, you know, every decade or so we get to explain Texas to the rest of the world, and there's a lot of misconceptions about Texas out there. I mean, despite our politics being pretty dysfunctional and producing some dubious, national level politicians, you know, Texas is a wonderful place. I mean, it has just such a complex and rich culture, but it gets, you know, there's a caricature out there in the media that has a lot to do with the guys who and they're almost all guys who leave Texas to go to Washington, and sometimes they even run for president. And I guess, you know, part of the fun is trying to complicate the picture a little bit for the rest of the nation about understanding Texas and just what a complex and interesting place it is, and much more complex than the way that I think the rest of the country views us, which is usually through our politicians, guys like Rick Perry, who go out of their way to kind of, you know, reduce our state to a stereotype, unfortunately. But, you know, it's good for business when George Bush or Rick Perry or LBJ, whoever, you know, is running for office, and we're happy to play the role of trying to explain our state and our politicians to the rest of the country. We get knocked around a little bit, but it's fun, and it's a role that we're happy to take.
Forrest Wilder is an award-winning reporter for the Texas Observer. He's covered Texas politics and Governor Rick Perry for years, and he's now being booked on national political programs to provide background and explain Perry to a new audience as Perry runs for the White House. Of course, you would assume that Rick Perry would be harshly criticized by the left for his policies and rhetoric, but he's also being hammered by some on the right. Groups like the Republican Liberty Caucus of Texas is calling out Perry for what they say is a tax and spend record. And the National Libertarian Party is vocal in its anti-Perry opinion, saying He is, quote, a pretender, not a defender, of the free markets. Wes Benedict is the executive director of the Libertarian Party.
Rick Perry is a conservative, but conservatives have not stood up for smaller government lately. Rick Perry has supported things like a new business tax, the new business margins tax. If you are a conservative who says you are for smaller government, lower taxes, lower spending, we don't need a new tax for that. We need less spending out there. Rick Perry supported the new cancer research center that Lance Armstrong set up, put the state in debt $3 billion for that. That was supported by most Republicans, Democrats, and Rick Perry. That's not what we need right now. Our country is in deep trouble. Most of our states and even a lot of our cities are in trouble because we're spending more money than we have. The solution is not to raise taxes. It's to lower spending and lower taxes as well.
You are from Texas.
I lived in Texas for 15 years. I now work as the executive director of the Libertarian National Committee in Washington, D.C. So I just left Texas about 2.5 years ago. I had the opportunity to vote against Rick Perry for governor twice while I lived in Texas.
When I leave Texas now and people come to me and ask me about Rick Perry, they want me to explain him to them. Are you getting the same type of deal?
Well, Rick Perry has done some strategic things in the last few years to appeal to the Tea Party. He's made a few statements about Texas should have the right to secede from the nation, you know, some inflammatory things that are designed to appeal to certain conservatives, and I think he's that's working to some degree right now. A problem nationwide right now is that a lot of the Republican contenders, the leading contenders, except for Ron Paul, but all the rest are, they have a lot of baggage as far as supporting things that, you know, that are big government. Mitt Romney with the Romney Care while he was governor in Massachusetts, that's a strike against him in a lot of conservatives' minds and people in the Tea Party. I think Rick Perry is a fresh face to a lot of them. People don't know him. They haven't been watching him nationwide the way they have focused on Mitt Romney and some others. So I think, you know, the more people learn about Rick Perry, the more they will find out he is an establishment Republican like so many others that they're upset with these days.
You bring up Congressman Paul. Of course, he's from Texas and running for president as well, but not quite getting all the glory and time in the limelight that Rick Perry is getting, and he came in second in the Ames straw poll.
The thing with Ron Paul is, and I love Ron Paul. Lots of libertarians really love Ron Paul. We think it'd be great if he would win the Republican nomination and be president. He's not everyone libertarian's first choice for president, but they certainly like him a lot. Ron Paul has views that are very different from mainstream Republicans, and that's why, you know, it's probably not likely he's going to catch on and win the Republican nomination. Ron Paul is against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm against the wars, too. I think that's a great thing. I just don't think that helps him win a Republican nomination. Ron Paul wants to end the war on drugs. He's for seriously defending civil liberties. He's against the Real ID. He's against the Patriot Act. So he's great on a lot of issues, but your average Republican is not in line with Ron Paul, doesn't have those same libertarian views. So that's why, you know, I think he's caught on a lot. He's done a lot better than I thought he would do. I mean, I'm very pleased that so many young people are hearing him, listening to him, and are excited by his campaigns, but I just don't think that libertarian views are catching on in the Republican Party at the degree it would take to win a nomination for someone like Ron Paul.
Wes Benedict is the executive director of the Libertarian Party. He is critical of Governor Perry and his record in Texas. As Perry runs for the White House, he likes to point to his track record in Texas for creating jobs. But others are pointing to Perry's other records, the ones about the rate of poverty, hunger, and health insurance for children in Texas. The recent Kids Count reports shows that children in Texas are living in a deteriorating state. Scott McCowan is the executive director for the Center for Public Policy Priorities, which produced the Kids Count report.
Well, our overall rank has slipped among the states to 35th, and Child poverty has gone up 9%, and that's one of the most significant findings. The percent of low-weight birth babies has gone up, as well as has infant mortality. So the report is done every year by the Annie Casey Kids Count Project, and it's a comparison of how states are doing vis-a-vis each other, and makes recommendations about how states can do better.
Is Texas slipping in the ranking because other states are doing better and Texas is not, or are kids just really just having a tougher and tougher time?
Well, it's comparative. So I think what's hurting right now, of course, is the economic situation for the country that has pushed those poverty numbers up. But it's how we're doing compared to the other states.
We're hearing Rick Perry, as he runs for president, is telling everyone about the Texas miracle, the economic boom that we're having in Texas. But I'm not seeing that in this report.
Well, Texas has added a lot of jobs, but that's primarily due to the fact we've had an exploding population growth, a lot of that from our very high birth rate. In the last decade, the country grew a little bit under 10%, and Texas grew a little bit over 20%. So we've had double the growth, and that's led to additional jobs in our state. But unfortunately, we still have a 8.2% unemployment rate, which puts us about in the middle of the country. 25 other states have lower unemployment. We're not producing jobs fast enough to keep up with our population growth. And we have, we rank number one in the proportion of our jobs that are low-wage jobs, paying the minimum wage or less, and number one in lack of health insurance. And so we've got a long way to go before we are hitting on all cylinders and creating a prosperous Texas.
Kids are going back to school. School is frequently where many children get the most nutritious meal of the day. Maybe they get breakfast and lunch there. But we've seen a lot of cuts in Texas at schools and other social services in the last legislative session. Is that going to be another hurdle, another challenge for children?
Well, it's definitely a challenge for children, and it's a challenge for our economy. If we want good jobs with good wages and benefits, we've got to produce a highly educated, highly skilled workforce. And in the last legislative session, the legislature has underfunded public education by $4 billion and cut another $1.4 billion in grants to our public schools for things like full-day kindergarten. And as a result, it's going to be harder for our public schools to help our kids become competitive in this very competitive world.
Scott McGowan is the executive director of the Austin-based Center for Public Policy Priorities. They've produced the recent Kids Count report, which shows a growing number of children in the state are living in worsening conditions. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to Texas Matters with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past Texas Matters programs posted online on our website at tpr.org. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.